Last week, at the European meeting of the International Society of Medical Publication Professionals, a leading pharmaceutical firm announced a breakthrough dramatically affecting doctors and patients alike. This important research advancement did not occur in any laboratory. It emerged after close examination of the drug company's communications policy. Welcome to Velocity of Content. I'm Christopher Keneally for CCC. In the lab, Ipsen concentrates its research in three key therapeutic areas: oncology, rare disease, and neuroscience. At the writing desk, it is also a leader in making that research widely available. Since 2019, Ipsen has committed to publishing its research exclusively with open access journals. Now, Ipsen has become the first pharmaceutical company to commit to publishing as a minimum a 250-word plain language summary alongside all company-sponsored journal publications that include data from human studies. This commitment will apply to articles published from July 2022. We devote this program to the Ipsen announcement and what it means for patients, publishers, and physicians. Dr. Oleksandr Gorbenko is UK-based Global Patient Centricity Director for Ipsen. Welcome to the program, Dr. Gorbenko.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Well, we look forward to speaking with you about plain language summaries and really want to start on the back of this news announcement from Ipsen and ask you, why are plain language summaries so important to the company? How do they fit in to your mission as a drug developer?
It's a really important question for us because plain language summaries contribute to our mission to be transparent and open company to all our stakeholders. But first and foremost, for patients, for caregivers, and for members of patient community, any members of patient community. So definitely plain language summaries contributing to transparency and increase the literacy of members of patient community, of course, and also provide some information, critically important information for patients and former study participants, for example. If they took part in the study, of course, it's interesting for them to know what we have, what the results are. And exactly, it's our mission, it's our strong strategic pillar.
And you began to tell us a bit about who benefits from plain language summaries. There are the patients who are involved in the clinical trials, but there are many other groups as well. Can you help us understand the range of stakeholders here?
So we need to have two main groups here. The first group, it's a more narrow group, but it's a group of study participants. If we had, for example, phase 3 clinical study with 1,000 participants, first of all, we need to share results and share what we achieved, what we had in terms of patient-reported outcomes, primary, secondary endpoints with them. Second huge group is a global community. Global community, let's say English-speaking, or if we're able to translate for any other broader community of people, because it's access to science.
Well, the point of accessibility for patients is really highlighted today by, of course, the global pandemic, the COVID-19 global pandemic. We've seen that scientists, medical researchers, and pharmaceutical companies understand more than ever that they have to address the public's questions and concerns about their work. So do you think that plain language summaries can help close the credibility gap that has opened up between scientists like yourself and the general public?
By my experience over the last 2 years, it's not even plain language summaries, but general medical information inquiries increased significantly over the first months of pandemic, because patients had big concerns with a medical appointment in the hospitals, with the chronic debilitating conditions, with the cancers, and some delayed appointments and something else. So patients trying to find some information and called to medical information of biggest pharmaceutical companies, including Ipsen. And our medical information department, I should say, had a forefront of these people were at the forefront of any conversation providing information. So this is the first element of that, so medical information. But I completely agree with you that plan language summary is definitely filling this gap, this information, this literacy gap, when patients looking for any information available.
And the impact isn't just on patients and researchers, but on pharmaceutical companies like Ipsen. How is this going to change the culture, the approach to your interactions with the public and with other researchers?
We are part of big healthcare landscape, of course. And actually, it's all about our collaborative efforts with academic institutions, with investigators, independent investigators, and clinical sites. Of course, we have mutual commitment here. And I think with all majority of our investigators, we agreed that we should be open, we should be transparent with patients and study participants. So investigators try to do that through specific processes probably you heard about new regulatory initiatives like lay language summary. So study lay language summary is not about publication. It's about study research summary to be shared by investigators or independent sites. It's a formal document because plain language summaries, it's a publication. It's a journal. But lay language summaries, it's just regulatory commitment.
So finally, Dr. Grubenko, I want to ask you about how this feels to you. Plain language summaries may really mean a difference for patients. They may get better treatment, possibly live longer. How does it feel to be a part of that kind of process?
Indeed, it's a big commitment and it's a big ambition for us. And it's all about health literacy, patient literacy, and commitment to patient literacy. Definitely, I'm more than confident as public health scientist also that health literacy is a basis of good health, good awareness, good understanding, and healthy lifestyle. And prevention, of course. So it's all these elements interrelated. But everything starting from health literacy and plain language summaries, definitely providing some access to science, access to data, scientific data, and definitely increasing the health literacy, level of health literacy of our patients, which is most important. And that's why I'm so excited to be part of that together with my colleagues from Global Medical Publications and Communication Team.
Dr. Oleksandr Grubenko, UK-based Global Patient Centricity Director for Ipsen, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be in touch with you. Thank you.
Open Pharma is a multi-sponsor collaborative project facilitated by Oxford Pharmagenesis, an independent global consultancy providing communication services to the healthcare industry, professional societies, and patient groups. In September 2021, Open Pharma contributors published recommendations that outline the minimum steps needed to develop discoverable plain language summaries that are trustworthy, credible, and of high quality. Adeline Rosenberg is a medical writer in the patient engagement and Open Pharma teams at Oxford Pharmagenesis. She has written on plain language summaries for the peer-reviewed journal Current Medical Research and Opinion, as well as in the Scholarly Kitchen blog. Welcome to the program, Adeline.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris. It's great to be here.
I guess I would start by asking you to help us understand better how plain language summaries, PLS, aims to make medical research and information not only understandable, but more accessible and inclusive.
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, a big element of open science is really just about opening up science to everyone, you know, not just the scientists and researchers themselves. And I think medical research, medical science is a really key area that this is particularly important because, you know, it impacts policy, it impacts patients, it impacts everybody. So providing research in a readable format, in a jargon-free text that, you know, everyone, or at least, you know, the broad public can begin to understand and digest is a really great way to kind of, you know, share your research with everyone out there.
And what kind of audiences and which groups do you think will benefit from plain language summaries? You mentioned patients, but there's a larger community than that.
The short answer is everybody. In medical research, especially, you know, that includes patients, caregivers, patient advocates and charities and sort of organizations and all that. But we're also talking about media and journalists, policymakers, you know, anyone that has a need or a want to to read and understand medical research. You see a lot of research getting misrepresented in the news. And a lot of the time, you know, having that information written in a plain way from the mouths of the researchers themselves can kind of counter some of that misinformation, or not even misinformation, but misinterpretation of information as it gets misinterpreted.
And why is guidance necessary for plain language best practice? Who are you trying to reach with this kind of guidance?
Yeah, Open Pharma, we are a multi-sponsor collaboration, and we sort of work to drive change in various different aspects of publishing of medical research. We work primarily with pharmaceutical companies and publishers, but we also work with others more broadly in our network, such as patient organizations and policy organizations and all sorts.
And you've emphasized that this is non-promotional, that what we're talking about here isn't marketing, it's publishing. And that's an important difference.
It's a very distinct, important difference. You know, a plain language summary is not in any way an advertisement. It is simply the exact same content that is in the scientific publication written in a different way. And if you wouldn't consider a scientific paper an advertisement, you wouldn't consider a plain language summary an advertisement, because it will contain the same factual content without bias or promotion, hopefully.
And text-only summaries are probably the first and easiest way to go, right, with plain language summaries. They're more easily found on internet search engines and on PubMed. But there are other formats for plain language summaries that are also acceptable and recommended.
You could do video abstracts, podcasts. There's so many different formats for different learning styles, which is really great. But certainly, as the first step, as a cost-effective and easy-to-produce step, text-based is a great start.
Well, certainly you are the immunologist, Adeline. I'm not, but I feel sometimes as if I almost need to be, given all the information that comes at us from sources like the CDC in the US and the NHS in the UK. And it seems to me that whether we get past COVID-19 today, tomorrow, or next year, this is a situation that will be with us for some time to come. Science research is really a part of our lives now.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, I think that's one of the positives of the pandemic, is that it's brought a lot of science to the forefront, and it's brought people into the conversations of science who might not have had that opportunity before.
Absolutely. And you've been a part of that, because in addition to being a medical writer, Adeline, you're also a rare disease patient advocate. And so I want to ask you, how as a member of a virtual community of patients, are you excited about seeing plain language summaries become more common?
Completely excited. You know, even pre-pandemic, the online community has been a huge part of disabled and chronic illness life for many people who, previous to lockdowns, may not have been able to leave their homes because of their own health. So, you know, having access to Twitter and Instagram and other social medias has been really important. And a lot of what you see happening in those communities is the sharing of research. Here's something new that's happened in the field of the disease that I want to share about. And, you know, people discussing, what might this mean? What could the impact of this be? And especially within rare diseases, a lot of patients become experts in their own disease. You know, they kind of have to be. But what would be really great is to have, for those that have not become the experts, to have digestible information to share that research that they're already sharing, but not necessarily digesting or understanding. Yeah, just have, you know, research that can be given to everyone, I think would be really great.
Well, Adeline Rosenberg, medical writer in the Patient Engagement and Open Pharma teams at Oxford Pharmagenesis, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thanks, Chris.
The Future Science Group, which is self-described as a progressive, customer-centric publisher of medical, biotechnological, and scientific research, moved in 2020 to advance plain language summaries to the journal article level. By publishing plain language summary of publication articles, FSG expects patients will learn more about the options available to them and make informed decisions on their treatment. Joanne Walker is head of publishing solutions at the Future Science Group, where she has spearheaded their plain language summaries initiative.
You know, we recognize that, readers are time constrained, so they need sort of as many tools as possible to sort of really help them, you know, learn about content, you know, help them keep up to date with new publications. You know, so all of our articles that we publish can feature videos, podcasts, infographics, etc. You know, just to really sort of, you know, provide bite-sized content and make it really digestible. And so really, you know, plain language summaries is really sort of a natural progression from this. You know, they sort of, you know, they're written in easy to understand language, etc. And, you know, we sort of recognizing that, you know, science is now being, you know, read because of, you know, COVID has really sort of put science in the spotlight. And it's just being read by so many different audiences, etc. So that's why we sort of really felt that we wanted sort of, you know, digestible, easy to understand content that was just then accessible for everyone.
And so what are the ways that you work with your FSG authors to help them make their research understandable for non-specialist audiences? This isn't something they've had to do before.
So, you know, in the first instance, we're sort of encouraging all our authors to feature lay abstracts alongside their articles. So these are sort of short, you know, sort of short summaries of their work, you know, written in sort of, it should be written in, you know, easy to understand language, and they're sort of published in, within the manuscript, and, you know, they can be read alongside the abstract. You know, if any of our articles are sort of behind a paywall, they can be read in front of the paywall. So they really are a really nice sort of overview in, you know, written to help anyone sort of read about the content. And then, you know, it's sort of a teaser, you know, if they want, you know, if they understand the abstract, etc., they might then want to go on to read the main article.
FSG is the first scientific publisher to publish plain language summaries as standalone articles on their own. These are known as PLSPs, for plain language summaries of publications. So describe the PLSPs for me.
So these are standalone articles published in any of our journals. So the, you know, there's numerous benefits of having them as sort of standalone articles. I'll just sort of, you know, list them here. So firstly, it means that they are assigned a DOI, so they're then independently discoverable. So, you know, although we are happy to publish supplementary plain language summaries, having a standalone plain language summary or a PLSP really does make that article a lot more discoverable, because they're independently published in our journal. We also ensure that they are peer reviewed. So that then adds a bit more sort of, you know, level of credibility to the article as well. And they are also, you know, citable because they have a DOI as well. And also they're really laid out. Our in-house designers, you know, sort of format these. So they're a really user, reader-friendly, infographic style article. So they're produced completely differently to our normal traditional sort of articles that we published. You know, there's lots of images, graphics, etc. And then another main feature of these as well is that the PLSPs can summarize of any article from any journal. So, for instance, articles from NEJM or Lancet, etc. We consider these to be acceptable secondary publications according to the ICMJE criteria. So, you know, it means that these can be produced without sort of, you know, breaching any sort of copyright or any of these sort of publishing guidelines. And, you know, most other publishers that we are seeing, that they're happy for us to publish these articles because it helps, you know, everyone understand the article, and more often than not is actually leading people to go on and read the original article. So that's sort of, you know, helping them to get more readers on the original article that was being published in the article. They're all published as open access as standard because we just feel it's really important for everyone to be able to read these. And, you know, unfortunately with open access, you can't really see who's reading it because, you know, you can just, it's just open for everyone. But what we're sort of seeing on social media, etc., is a lot of patient organizations are sharing these articles. And it's just, you know, and it's great to see that they're being sort of read by the people that we want them to be read by.
And it's important to emphasize that this is publishing. This is not marketing. These are peer-reviewed articles.
Yes, I mean, all the PLSPs that we publish are, you know, are summaries of articles that have already been published in another journal, you know, whether it's one of our journals or, you know, from someone like Elsevier, Springer, etc. So, you know, we know that the article itself, in order for it to have been published, has already undergone quite a, you know, a strict peer review process. You know, we know that the science is credible, so that the science is sound. So we know that there's, you know, there's that level of sort of credibility there. But also, you know, the PLSPs themselves are peer reviewed. They're peer reviewed for scientific accuracy and how well they represent the original article. But and then they're also peer reviewed for, you know, how they read, you know, how they're laid out, etc., as a plain language summary. So we know that, you know, through that peer review process, we, you know, there's no sort of cherry picking of the data. And, you know, that if, you know, if the article is sponsored by a pharmaceutical company, they're not, you know, misrepresenting the data, because it has to be a summary of the original article. So all that data has to be, you know, has to be sound.
And it seems to me that summarizing this kind of content for a lay audience, it's going to be an important skill for researchers and others in the scientific community moving forward.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's really, really hard, even, you know, it's just really hard for someone to explain something in, you know, easy to understand language when they're so familiar with the topic. And I think it really does depend on who you want to read your summary. You know, if you want your article to be read by other scientists who may not be familiar with your field, but other scientists, then you'd possibly write the summary in a bit more of a technical way. So that's absolutely fine. But if you do want your summary to be read by a lay audience, then you really do need to make it clear, you know, have a colleague, have, you know, a non-researcher read it to make sure that they're aware with it. Just have other people read it before you go on and sort of submit it to a journal or something, because it really is important that, you know, you could ask your mum or dad to read it even, because, you know, if they're not non-scientists, they should be able to understand what's being said.
It's also increasingly common for patients to be authors of PLSPs. And that's because I understand that Future Science Group believes that the patients themselves are experts. So what do you mean by that?
They know what the symptoms mean to them. They know what might be relevant. So, patients as authors is such a really interesting topic. So I know that it's quite a polar subject as well. Some authors, some journals don't like it. Other journals do. At FSG, we do like it, and we do encourage patients to be authors. You know, not only to provide their, you know, they provide a really sort of, you know, rich experience. And in terms of PLSPs, I think having patient authors really help with the format of these. You know, it could be that the PLSP is summarizing the sort of safety and efficacy of a new treatment. And it could be that, you know, because of the way traditionally, you know, scientific articles are written with your methods, your results, looks at, you know, the efficacy, and then it goes on to study the safety. But it could be that patient author thinks, well, actually, it's the safety that's the more important thing that I think about, you know, as from, you know, it's, you know, is the drug going to give me really horrible side effects, in which case. So they may help them with the structure of the article, and they may help think, well, actually, you know, reverse it, put the safety data first, and then put the side effects data. So it's really sort of, you know, gaining experience from them in terms of, you know, how they think these articles should be written and structured as well.
As we've seen in the COVID-19 pandemic, there is I'll call it a credibility gap between scientists and the public. And do you think that plain language summaries can help to close that gap?
Everyone is interested in plain language summaries. It's all a big buzzword. But I think the main thing is that readers or patients themselves we need to educate patients themselves that these types of articles exist. So they need to know that somewhere you can Google, you know, plain language and, you know, X, Y, and Z, and you should then hopefully be able to find, you know, sort of accessible information that they can read in about a subject. And then once they sort of delve further into the subject, they can then maybe find the published articles, plain language summaries, that sort of thing. So I really think it is sort of closing the sort of knowledge gap between doctors and patients and, you know, lay readers.
And there are other benefits for the pharma-funded medical research field, right? I mean, this is a helpful step for those kinds of companies to begin and to expand their engagement with patients.
Pharmaceutical companies can sort of give doctors these plain language summaries to help them then communicate with their patients and saying, well, look, you know, I'm considering giving you this new treatment. There's a, you know, this is based on this research if you're interested, and here's a, you know, a plain language summary discussing this research. So, you know, it is a really good way to sort of help, you know, help patients and doctors communicate with each other. But also, you know, these tools are good for doctors themselves as well, you know, because they, you know, rather than perhaps spending, you know, half an hour reading all the data in a scientific article, they could spend sort of, you know, 5-10 minutes reading a summary, and then they'll think, oh, actually, then I'm going to go on to read the full article when I have time. But so, you know, there's just benefits for everyone, really.
Right. And in November, to mark Lung Cancer Awareness Month, FSG posted a group of plain language summaries for articles on lung cancer that appeared in Future Oncology, one of your journals. I had a look at those, and I found it remarkable how much information was conveyed in such a small space. And even there was a pronunciation guide for the various drugs. Very helpful indeed. So what's it like to be part of an effort that may mean more patients get better treatments and may live longer?
It's just great to see, you know, how well these are being read. You know, looking at some of the data, that the metrics of the readership, you know, some of the articles that we published sort of a few months ago, you know, now I've got sort of 2,000-3,000 downloads, which is just really good to see that they're being, you know, they're being well read, and that, you know, they've got good old metric scores, they're being shared on social media. So it's just really great to see, you know, just the impact these are having. And we've also just received some really good feedback. You know, with all articles that we publish, we send them to any relevant sort of patient organizations, and we're sort of getting feedback such as, oh, you know, these are great tools, you know, this is exactly what we've been looking for, that sort of thing. So it's really just nice to see, you know, that positive reinforcement of what we've been doing.
I'm sure it must be a really great feeling. And it's important too professionally, because you're part of seeing a change in something that for the last three centuries hasn't changed very much at all, the scientific article.
Exactly. And I mean, we recognize ourselves that the format of these plain language summaries are still very much constrained within the format of what a scientific article should look like. And I was actually having a conversation with one of our the patient experts that we work with, and he sort of said, have you ever thought about, you know, sending this off to a graphic designer who doesn't work in publishing to see what they might do with it, and just to completely sort of, you know, turn the whole layout, turn everything on it on its head. And sort of we were a bit, ooh, that might be a bit too far, but it's definitely something that we'd like to consider, you know, just really sort of playing with the format of these and just making them just so much more, just, you know, it's all about patients being able to read these. So if it means that we have to come up with a different format, or, you know, a different way that they're accessed, etc., I think, you know, we're all for that. We're just going to sort of see how it all develops.
Joanne Walker, Head of Publishing Solutions at the Future Science Group, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you. Thanks.
Plain language summaries help to move published research beyond the basic definition of open access, availability, toward a more ambitious goal of understandability. Plain language summaries may also be the fundamental infrastructure for strengthening science in an age of information overload. The bridge from farmer labs to kitchen tables will be built not brick by brick, but word by word. That's all for now. Our producer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for joining me on Velocity of Content from CCC.